Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Yesterday, the Padres won. But don't worry, our host Jesse Agler will fill you in a little bit more.
If you're doing a show like we are, we got to talk about it a little bit more in depth than just that.
We're also joined by Randy Jones, who most people are excited to see, except for our producer.
Scared the living you-know-what out of Blooper. There was a big flinch.
Today, the Padres will try to win the rubber game against the Diamondbacks and will hopefully do so with some more fireworks.
That ball is drilled deep. It's high enough. It's long enough. Touch it all.
Now, coming to you from the beautiful AMR studio.
There's somebody watching this on the internet in, like, Detroit.
Going, wow.
And they're, man, do I hate Jesse and Randy Jones right now.
It's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Here's your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. We are at the AMR Studios in beautiful downtown San Diego. Western Metal Supply Company building here at Petco Park. Got a fun show for you.
Rubber match.
Big day. You got the rubber match.
I love rubber matches.
It's Jackie Robinson Day, April 15th.
Got my button.
So you got to remember, pay your taxes in the morning, or hopefully before
the
morning.
Don't start the show like that.
And then it's just a reminder that it's Jackie Robinson Day today as well. Everybody around baseball, we saw it in the day games earlier today, and we'll see it tonight with the Padres and the Diamondbacks wearing number 42, which is it's always such a cool thing to see, and it looks really nice. So we'll talk a lot about Jackie Robinson and Jackie Robinson Day. We've got some news coming out of the Arizona Diamondback Clubhouse. We'll discuss that. It involves a guy we discussed a lot this offseason, Yasmani Tomas. And also, I like how excited you sounded by that. You were intrigued.
Like, I am intrigued.
And we'll discuss the 5-1 win last night, which was a lot of fun. Beautiful. It was a lot of fun. Odrysamer Despaigne did his thing again, and it was outstanding to watch. It's an interactive show. Let's start out there as well. On Twitter, you can join us using the hashtag PadresSH. We'll get to your Twitter questions and comments throughout the show. Hashtag PadresSH. You can also go online to Padres.com/social hour to chat with other fans and moderator Becky. Hanging out there
moderator.
As well. So you can check all of that stuff out. Thanks to Mike Grace and Annie Heilbrunn for hosting the show the last couple of days. While I was in the radio booth, it was outstanding both days, as was Odrysamer Despaigne.
Oh, he was outstanding.
7 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, only needed like 84 pitches to get through it. He was pitching last night.
He really was. And you know what? Like we always talk about, Odrysamer using all the different arm angles, but he's really kind of stayed up on top. You know, throwing that downhill plane a little bit more than his last two times out on the mound. He's looked really good. Yeah, I saw him drop down a little bit, Jesse, on a couple of two-seamers, which is fine. But for the most part, he's staying right up there, and he's just got great stuff from there. I mean, hitting, like 92, 93 miles an hour, but the off-speed stuff. I mean, anytime you can throw a curveball at 67 miles an hour for a strike, how in the world are you going to settle on a 92-mile-an-hour fastball? Hard to do.
We didn't see the first of the Ephuses until I think the fifth inning.
That's right.
That was the so he didn't need it up until that point. And then he ended up throwing maybe 3-4 of them over the course of the fifth, sixth, and seventh inning. But yeah, it was sort of fun watching him change his approach a little bit, just keeping those guys off balance, that maybe third time through the order.
Sure. And that a game plan, he knows what he wants to do, but how he changed speed so well. And what sets it up so good, he's around the plate, he's throwing strikes, and all of a sudden the guy's got they're trying to get the first pitch before he gets ahead. And they're at the disadvantage. So they're trying to get a little bit quick. So he got some quick outs.
He's so fun to watch. He seems so effortless at times. Yes. He's so loose out there. And he's got every reason to be loose pitching at Petco Park. He now, in his career, going back to last year, of course, has a 1.64 ERA when pitching in this building. Well, a 1.64 earned run average.
Initially, when Brandon Morrow got the fifth spot, Odrysamer Despaigne was going to be our long man. Absolutely perfect.
Right.
Absolutely perfect situation for his character, his makeup. He's the perfect guy to be that long man and step in and when he needs to start. We were debating last night, is he just going to go 7 and 84 pitches or are they going to stretch him out a little bit? But being the long man, I thought Buddy did a great job of just letting him go a solid 7, so he's going to be ready in 5 days to pitch again.
Now, of course, he started last night because Ian Kennedy got hurt. He's on the disabled list. The plan for Ian Kennedy, per Buddy Black earlier today, bullpen today. Another bullpen session on Friday, and if all continues to go well, a minor league rehab assignment on Monday. So Kennedy is certainly lining up to join the rotation, to rejoin the rotation as quickly as he's allowed to come off the 15-day disabled list.
And that's important. All that hard work you put into spring training preparing for the season, you don't want to, go out, 3 weeks, you know, lose a little bit of that edge. I mean, 2 weeks is tough enough, but get that pitch count up on a rehab, start and getting back into the five-man rotation.
Now, let me ask you something, because I know somebody was thinking about last night. Despaigne is mowing down the Diamondbacks. He had the 4 2/3 perfect innings against San Francisco in his first start. What if Despaigne goes out and makes another, like, really, really, really good start? And Morrow makes another really, really good start tonight. And everybody else sort of does what you expect. And Kennedy is healthy and ready to go. Somebody who's going to want to know, does Despaigne have a chance to stay in the rotation if that all happens?
No. Not right now. He didn't, because I think he's too valuable to this ball club in that long man situation. He's the ideal guy that you have to have, Jesse, in that scenario. We had, you know, Stauffer in there that did a great job for us the last couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. And I think Despaigne right now, you know, for the team itself, that's the perfect ideal spot you want to, you know, Grissom or Despaigne to have that chance. You need somebody in the second or third inning, he's your guy. And you need that.
You do need a guy like that in your bullpen, and it looks like it's going to be Despaigne. But okay, there you go, throwing a little bit of water on that fire. I agree with you.
Sorry,
for what it's worth. No, I think it's a question I'm sure some people were thinking of
they're
watching him dominate last night.
You talk about the whole pitching staff and where he's the most valuable. I think that's where he's definitely the most valuable right there.
The other thing to mention, of course, is that a 1.64 ERA is coupled with a 5.31 road ERA. So as comfortable as he is here, he's had a little bit more trouble when pitching away from downtown San Diego. What have you noticed in his home starts, his road starts? Is there anything obvious, or is it just sometimes the way it works?
Yeah, just kind of sometimes the way it works. I think the one thing I'd really like to see him this season, though, and get out on the road, you know, keep that arm angle up. What I've seen his last two times on the mound, and I saw it during the spring, you know, don't get too cute about dropping down and doing all these cute things. He doesn't have to.
Yeah.
His stuff is too good when he stays up on top. You know, that arm angle, he has better movement. It's later movement. And I want to see him on the road doing that. I think you'll see a lot more effectiveness.
We did see less of the funny stuff from Despaigne, and funny is maybe not the most fair word to use, but the different stuff. He was more straightforward. He was more simplified, and you could tell that was probably something that they've been working on with him. And obviously the results speak for themselves last night, a great seven innings.
Yeah, I thought last year there's a couple times where he did get in trouble. He got a little too cute, dropping arm angles and things, and where he didn't have to. And I don't, you know, you can do that every once in a while, but, you know, don't make a habit of it. Even if you don't have your best stuff, I think you still got to stay up on top and give yourself the best chance to make a quality pitch.
Makes a lot of sense. All right, so that was the pitching story yesterday. Nice job by the bullpen as well.
Yes.
Benoit in the eighth inning, and Dale Thayer coming out to close it in the ninth. We got to talk about some offense as well. Padres got back to doing something they were doing earlier on in the year, which was scoring in the first inning. As a starting pitcher, you must have a great appreciation for seeing runs cross the plate in the first.
You just love that. You love that. You come with a different mentality, and all of a sudden damage control, if you get in that situation, has a whole new meaning with a 3-run lead. And I think that, you know, them scoring early. And the one thing, you know, this lineup can score at any time. But scoring early like that, you know, really takes some of the heat off of you as a starting pitcher. You got a little bit of room to breathe. You can catch a little more of the plate on 3-2 and things like that. And it makes all the difference in the world. If they can do that, they continue to do that, you know, the starting rotation is going to love them to death.
Yeah. Kemp, Norris, Alonso driving in runs in the first inning. There were some big hits to the Myers double, of course. You had a dribbler that got a run in. Norris hit the ball well to left field. It was a little bit of everything. This is not a team that's just relying on one or two guys. It's not a team that's scoring with just one or two guys contributing, and they're scoring most every night so far.
You know what? And when you watch this, there's some quality outs being made. You're watching the game just like I am. I mean, hitting the ball on the button, good quality outs. They're good at bats. You know, that's why they fail 7 out of 10 times.
Sure.
You know, you can hit it right on the butt, but the guy is right at somebody. And I'm encouraged by that.
That's
good
BABIP.
Quality at bats.
Talking about BABIP a little bit there.
Yes.
You love the BABIP.
Yeah.
Batting average balls in play, if people don't know. That's a stat some people keep track of. And it can be a useful one at times when you're trying to figure out a pitcher's performance, especially when things get a little bit goofy, as they tend to do at times in this great game of baseball. So they strung together some hits in the first inning for 3 runs. And then in the fifth inning, a much more simplistic way of getting on the scoreboard, Justin Upton, strong, gets to the plate and just hammers one out to left field.
Took advantage of a mistake. I think he was a little irritated with himself. He got punched out, you know, on a fastball away that snuck back over the plate. Might have been marginal, but too close to take. I think he knows that. And a good redeemer, though. You know, hit the mistake, square up on him. Good to see.
And it was good to see, too. If you were watching the show the other day when batting stance guy was here, Gar Reines, he did the Justin Upton home run batting stance. And so yesterday we got to sort of compare what Gar did the other day with Upton's dead on. As usual, it was dead on with batting stance guy. It's the throwing of the bat and then sort of the robot walk you know, the first couple of steps to first base from Dustin Upton.
Yeah, the stiff front leg where he's just, you're pulling it, jacking the ball out. And
his swing is so fun to watch, Justin Upton. Man, he got some hitters in this lineup, huh?
I'm telling you.
Hey, you remember the name Yasmani Tomas?
Yes.
We talked a lot about Yasmani Tomas, one of the Cuban defectors, and the Padres were reportedly in the mix for his services this past winter. Tomas, of course, ends up signing with the Diamondbacks. He did not make the club out of spring training. They sent him to AAA Reno. He's been a Reno ace, and in five games with Reno, Tomas, 4-for-21. That's a 190 average, one home run, three RBIs, and he has been recalled. He is here at Petco Park.
Really?
He is not in the starting lineup, but Yasmani Tomas is here and available off the bench for the Snakes.
What position does he play?
Well, that's a very good question, and that's sort of been the question about him since the beginning of it all. I think we all sort of figured third base. But then they sent him to AAA, and he's been playing right field.
Yeah, you can hide him out there. That's a good call.
Well, I mean, they're trying to hide Mark Trumbo out there right now, and you saw what happened with him last night and that Matt Kemp triple. And I'm not even taking a shot at Trumbo.
No, I understand.
I mean, he's a guy that he's bounced all over the diamond with the Angels, and then nobody quite knows where he fits in defensively. They like his bat.
That's right.
But, so they've stuck him out in right field, thinking that might be the best place for him. And then Matt Kemp drops one in front of him for a triple last night.
How that ball just find you when you're playing?
Always those goofy ones, too. Like, if Kemp hits that ball any better, it's a routine fly ball.
Exactly.
Instead, he drops it in front of Trumbo, who, God bless his little heart, he tries to make that sliding catch coming in, jumps right over him, and then it's a triple, and then, of course, a wild pitch.
Yep.
And that's how the Padres got their fifth and final run in the game last night. All right, we got a fun one set up for you. Again, interactive show. Join us on Twitter. Use that hashtag PadresSH. The questions and the comments are already coming through. We'll be flying those across the screen. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour to chat with us and ask your questions there as well. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Jackie Robinson Day and the legacy of Jackie Robinson, which, of course, goes well beyond baseball. All of that plus some minor league talk coming up in a little bit. Going to throw a curveball at you there.
I like it.
Now's the time to check out The Point, presented by Ballast Point. This new bar rail seating area at Petco Park features in-seat waiter service with food from the patio and beer from Ballast Point with spectacular views of the field. Get your tickets to sit at The Point. Just go to Padres.com. Blooper, we got a couple people sitting out there tonight, don't we? We do. We gave away some tickets to The Point on yesterday's show. Darklighter from the from Gaslamp. He's going to be up there with three of his friends tonight. So hope those guys have a great time. Take a break. Come back. Talk some more about the legacy of Jackie Robinson right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Welcome back with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. All around baseball, a very, very special day. Each and every April 15th, ever since 1997, Major League Baseball celebrates Jackie Robinson Day. This is the anniversary, of course, in 1947. Jackie officially broke the Major League color barrier, playing in a game for the Brooklyn Dodgers. And the legacy of Jackie Robinson on the field, of course, is massive. But Major League Baseball these last few years has done such a good job of making it something way beyond baseball. And our next guest can tell us a little bit more about that. Kenneth Patterson is with us. He is a scholarship recipient in his time of the Jackie Robinson Foundation. He also has what might be the coolest job in the world, which we'll talk about. Kenneth, man, thanks for stopping by. Great to meet you. Tell us a little bit about the foundation, the scholarship, and how you got involved in all that and where it's taken you.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. Anytime I get to represent the foundation, I'm always willing to do so. So I was a recipient of the scholarship in 2003, and the scholarship is more than just financial support. Anything you're trying to do as a college student as far as anything that interests you, if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to go into finance, if you want to be a lawyer, whatever it is, you tell the foundation, and then they'll make sure to put you in contact with people to help you get those things and learn how to get there. And so it's more than just the money. Some of my closest friends are from that. It's more of a family. We have family sessions. You talk about what's going on at school, talk about what's going on at home. It's awesome. It's more of a family atmosphere than just the academic scholarship.
That's
so
awesome.
What was the process like? As you end up being selected, I would imagine it's a pretty serious process.
Yeah, it's a pretty serious process. You have to have they have to have the grades, obviously. You have to have very high off out of school activities, extracurricular activities, sports, whether it's sports, community service, whatever it is. My sponsor was the National Minority Junior Golf Scholarship Foundation, which is based in Phoenix. And so typically each scholar has a sponsor. When you go there, they have your lunches with the sponsors. And I applied through that foundation and it designated me a scholar. So my process to go through was a little different. But the normal process is you would apply through the Jackie Robinson Foundation. There are regional offices or regional boards, and then you go through an interview process. And you have to interview with a board of pretty much alum and people on the board, and they push those applications through, and you get selected.
Very cool. So you're from Arkansas, so you're going through that whole process. So people are probably wondering, well, what's he doing on Padre Social Hour, wearing his Padre hat and his Padre jersey? You live and work here in San Diego for one of the great companies here in San Diego, TaylorMade. And give the job description, because when you told me earlier, I was like, I don't get jealous of a lot of people's jobs. I love my job. This
right.
job, people come up to me all the time, Jesse, you got the coolest job ever. And I do.
Whoa.
I imagine you hear that relatively frequently,
too. I hear yeah. it quite a bit. So I've been in the San Diego area for 7 years. I live a few blocks from here in East Village. I work for TaylorMade. I came out on an internship, interned for six months and got hired in the sports marketing group. And now I actually work in the global marketing group, managing the relationships with our professional athletes. So all of our LPGA, PGA, Champions Tour, Web.com athletes. So anytime we need them to do anything similar to what I'm doing now, which is ironic, I will be the one to kind of coordinate it with them and their agents and make sure everything goes smoothly.
So you travel around and take care of all the LPGA and PGA players.
Correct. I just got back around noon today. I was in Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Oh.
We did an announcement for one of our brands. So it's four brands, TaylorMade, Adidas, Adams, and then Ashworth as well. And so we did an announcement with Boo Weekly. He switched over to Adams. So we had a little tailgate last night. And I hopped on a plane this morning, and I'm here with you guys.
That ain't bad.
That's awesome.
That ain't bad at all.
Now, do you love to play golf?
I love it.
So you get to play.
Yeah, I do. I actually am playing more golf now because typically when I was dealing with golf Monday through Friday, going in the office every day, kind of want to get away from it. But now that I'm in a different environment pretty much every week or every other week, it's kind of reinvigorating.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's a cool
that's
job.
A cool job.
That's a cool job,
that's
Randy.
Cool
we know job. A lot of people with cool jobs. That's a very cool job. Kenneth Patterson was a recipient of the Jackie Robinson Foundation Scholarship, now here 7 years in the San Diego area working for TaylorMade. Arkansas guy. He went to school.
Yeah.
Where'd you tell everybody where he went to school.
Yeah, Ouachita Baptist University, about 1,500 students. And it was definitely a pretty cool experience, a very small liberal arts school, and holds a very dear place in my heart. Made me who I am today and kind of paved the way for me to be here. So
that's awesome. You know,
I mean, the internship at TaylorMade, that had to really be exciting for you.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I didn't really know what I was getting into. The program that sent me out here, there were three of us that were in it. One of the guys went to Troon Golf, which is where I thought I was going, in Arizona. Another company in Northeast, I can't remember which company it was, but and then TaylorMade. And I got the phone call from TaylorMade. I was like, oh, it's kind of cool. And got here the first day.
Great.
I show up in my my shirt and tie, and they're like, first thing we got to do is get you out of that in a golf shirt and hitting golf balls. So,
that's great.
How do I get hired?
Yeah, seriously. By the way, we're sitting here talking about what a cool job he has. Don't take our word for it. Golf Digest, Kenneth, said you have the number 7 coolest job in golf.
Yeah, I keep that article keeps surfacing. People keep finding that article.
I mean, they're saying in a world of cool jobs, to say that you have the 7th coolest, I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
I wouldn't tell anybody. I'd keep it a secret.
I did. During the whole process, I didn't know that it was going to be a list. I just thought it was cool jobs held by millennials. And then when it comes out, everybody keeps saying, only number 7? And I was like, what's going on?
I mean,
so,
7 out of a million isn't bad.
I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining at all. Anytime I get mad about what's going on at work, I just think about that, and then I'm not mad at anymore.
There you go.
I like that. Hey, that's a great way to look at it. Kenneth Patterson, hey, if anybody wants some more information on the Jackie Robinson Foundation or to apply for a scholarship, they can go to jackierobinson.org. It's obviously worked out really nicely for you, man.
Yes.
Great things are happening through that scholarship program.
Absolutely. And you just got
to
hear a little bit of it with Kenneth.
You betcha.
Awesome, man. Thanks for stopping by.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Come by anytime. Great to meet you.
Thanks for having
Kenneth
me.
Kenneth Patterson, jackierobinson.org.
Free tea time.
For all of the information.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
and
let's do it.
Randy's
going
to end up with some gear, I feel like, at the end of all of this.
I'm ready, man.
All right. Don't miss your chance to catch the biggest rivalry of the season, Padres and the Dodgers. Big weekend series coming up. 9 days from now, the 24th, 25th, and 26th, get your tickets at Padres.com before they sell out. Dodgers here, weekend series coming up after this road trip. Thanks again to Kenneth Patterson, JackieRobinson.org. Take a break, come back, and talk more Padres baseball right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Back at the AMR Studios in the Padres team store here in the Western Metal Building. Game 3 of the series coming up. Padres and the Diamondbacks. Thanks again to Kenneth Patterson for stopping
by.
I
like that.
Really cool, too, to hear about the Jackie Robinson Foundation and the way those scholarships work.
Yeah.
They're not just writing a check and saying, hey, you know, good luck. It sounds like they're really helping you out over the course of your entire life.
It's not about an education, but socializing the guys, you know, and taking care of them, giving them opportunities, you know, like for job placement.
Really
cool.
I
love that.
Really, really cool. Encourage everybody to check that out at JackieRobinson.org. It is, of course, Jackie Robinson Day. Throughout all of baseball. We got some Twitter stuff coming in, including about that. Remember, you can use the hashtag PadresSH. Our very first tweet is coming via Eddie, SDEddie619. He says, looking forward to seeing all the players wearing number 42 tonight. Look, I'm critical of Major League Baseball at times. Some of their initiatives, they fizzle.
Yeah.
This one, man, they hit it out of the park in 1997 when they really sort of established April 15th officially as Jackie Robinson Day. That was the 50th anniversary. And ever since, it's a really, really cool thing around baseball.
Yeah, it really has expanded out. Everybody's embraced it, and that's what I really like about it.
Yes, everybody's on board. Everybody gets it. And it's a great way to honor one of the true pioneers in the game. All right, Benny on Twitter checks in as well. He says, do you think Buddy Black will continue to sacrifice Jerko's glove for Solarte's bat? I've always said, if you can hit, you will play. Jerko back in the lineup tonight.
Right. He is in the lineup tonight in a matter of time. But, again, you know, what's nice about the situation we have now with Solarte and his bat, I mean, you have that opportunity where he's struggling a little bit, Jed Jerko, we obviously know, but spend some time in the batting cage, you know. You know, and that's what he needed right now. And it's good to see him back in the lineup, but it's great to have enough talent. You got a guy on the bench that can fill in for you.
Yeah.
And, I like it.
And the thing about Solarte, and, I mean, you know, Gehrig has the point here. He goes, am I the only one all in? He looks great up there. He's even using the celebration emoji, which shows you how serious he is about the entire thing. But, I mean, when a guy's getting a hit or two every single night, it seems like, I understand why Gehrig Sullivan on Twitter might be saying, hey, I want to see him in there.
Prototypically, you're going to go with the hot hand.
Right.
You know, and that's just kind of baseball. That's what happens. You know, but right now, I know he's trying to get, you know, Jed, you know, back in line and there in part of that lineup.
And that's kind of the big thing, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the purpose needs to be to get Jed Jerko comfortable in the box and productive
exactly.
in the box. And you can only sit so many times while that's going to happen. You know, for the Padres to reach their full potential, am I wrong? Jed Jerko needs to be a big part of it?
Well, yeah. I mean, where are you going to be in the lineup if he can, you know, start swinging the bat like he's capable of doing, Jesse? If, you know, all of a sudden, you know, that's another spot, that whether it be the sixth spot, the five spot, you know, the seventh spot. You got to pay attention to Jed Jerko if he's swinging the bat with the authority that he has the capability of doing. You know, that's another slot that's not an easy out. You know, you're making that other pitcher work a little bit harder.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, we're kind of mentioning the lineup for tonight, teasing it by letting you know that Jed Jerko's in there. Let's throw up the entire starting lineup for the Padres and discuss it, because a couple of notable things here. And as always, the starting lineup brought to you by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. All right, so Derek Norris in that number two hole. Which is cool. You know, we kind of liked that idea earlier on. We thought we were going to see a lot of it. He's been batting fifth quite a bit, but now Norris hitting second. Kemp Upton, 3-4, as you'd expect. Yonder Alonso, that's another guy you got to tip your cap to right now. He seems to be hitting every night. Middlebrooks, Jerko, Amarista, eighth, and the pitcher, Morrow, ninth. And it does look so cool, right, with all those 42s
yeah,
on the right
I love
side.
That. I did pick that up.
Nice
that's
job,
awesome.
Seth, on that one. But I like Norris in the two-hole. I really do.
I like Norris in the two-hole, but also that five-hole gives him a little bit of rest. It's different. You know, basically, I think your approach is a little bit different if you're in the two or the five.
When you say a break, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, it's a break. You're in that two-hole, number one. You're moving runners, more running situations, in my opinion, where the five-hole, you have more of a tendency. You're driving in runs.
Okay.
I think it's a little bit of a different approach in that scenario. So, I mean, him being a catcher, I think we wear him out in that two-hole after a while. He's got to lose a couple of steps by August, you know, being behind the plate and getting nicked up.
How concerned are you about the number of innings, the number of nicks that a catcher is going to take when you expect him to be one of your main offensive contributors? I mean, this is something that Kansas City dealt with last year with all the games they played into the postseason with Salvador Perez and the wear and tear on his body being back there as many times as he was. I mean, he caught some ungodly number of innings last year when you factored in the postseason. Even before the postseason, it was a huge number. I think 150 games catching when all was said and done for Perez last year. So how cognizant do you have to be of that even here on April 15th?
Well, I think every once in a while you see, like, getting Will Nieves. I mean, you know, he could do it every night. But, like, Sunday, let Will Nieves, you know, give him a day off here and there. I just think there's more wear and tear in that number two spot.
Got it.
More running situations than you do in the five spot.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
And so
it's a way to sort of ease him back without taking him out of
the ball. It really does. Okay. And Derek Norris, he'd catch all 162 if you let him.
Oh, yeah. No, he wants to be out there. You can tell.
That's right. But as long as he doesn't get nicked up and, you know, foul tips and that type of thing. You know, he caught a couple here.
Well, there were like a million of them in the first three games. It was like he had a magnet on him. All right,
he really did.
We'll take a break, come back, and we'll move from the catcher position to how about every other position on the diamond?
Yeah.
With a guy that can play, I think, all of the seven other positions.
I think he's taking baseballs in every other position.
Corey Spangenberg will join us live right after this. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco's proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, continues next with Corey Spangenberg live.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, broadcasting live before the third and final game of the series against the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Rubber match.
That's what they call it. Do we know the genesis of that, why they called it the rubber match back in the day? Did they call it that when you were playing? I wonder when that started. I'm putting you on the hot seat here.
Well, no, the rubber match, you know, rubber game.
No, I know, but like, do you know where that came from?
I have no
idea. Can somebody research that? I'll look it up. I'll Google it during
the break.
Somebody
will tell us.
More importantly, Corey Spangenberg is here, which we appreciate. Thank you.
Hi, Corey.
Hey,
you get the formal introductions here on Padres Social Hour, the handshake. First off, man, congratulations making this opening day roster. That was fun for us to watch during spring training, and it had to be pretty special for you too, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was, especially with the team we have here. It should be a fun year. We have a fun team and a competitive team, and look forward to playing in October.
Well, we were just talking about it. I mean, it's a different feeling when you come into the clubhouse, even when you get to the ballpark. A different feeling compared to last year.
Oh, absolutely. From the fans to the team, we're expected to win this year, and I think we as a club expect ourselves to win, and that's completely different from last year.
Yeah, different for you, day in and day out, you come out on the field, it's just a different feeling.
Oh, it is. The fan, especially with the fans, they've been electric. The first weekend, I think we set a record for fans in a home opener, so that was cool.
Yeah, it was 160,000 people in the building for the four games against the Giants. And I imagine down in the dugout, you could hear all of it. I mean, it had to feel different.
Oh, absolutely. It was electric, like you guys said. You know, they were loud. They were into it. And it was just a different feel from last year.
I mean, into it, Jesse, to the point where when Pagan came up from the incident.
Every time they were booing
him. Yeah, the Padres fans are booing him. And I love that. Now you're into
it.
I love that.
Exactly.
That was good.
Yes, it was.
And I knew you guys heard it, too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. They were loud.
That, yeah, the Nieves curtain call, which I thought was a really special moment as well. A guy that began his career here, you know, a long time ago, comes back, and in his first game in the regular season, goes and hits a grand slam. Corey Spangenberg knows a little bit about dramatic entrances. Last year, your second game against these Diamondbacks last September, walk-off home run.
Yeah, I mean, it was a memory I'll never forget. Just the second game in the big leagues, pinch hit for Maven off Ziegler, and, you know, just with the family here. And
exactly.
The time being in September, so it's like a new team, big leagues for the first time, so that was a fun.
Yeah, I would say that's
pretty
fun.
Around the bases quick, I remember that.
I was sprinting because I didn't know whether it was going to go out or not.
You got to do that. Speaking of sprinting, one of my favorite moments from this past weekend had nothing to do with Pagan and Norris or Nieves. It was you going first to third on a ground ball to third. I love stuff like that. So obviously, you've got to be really fast, which we know you are. But it takes a little bit of gumption. Is that the right word for that? Maybe to try and go first to third on a ground ball to third. Maybe take us through that right there. I mean, because that's a gutsy thing to try and pull off in a game.
You know, I think part of the reason I'm on this team is for my speed. And every time I get out there, I'm trying to be aggressive on the base pass. And I was just about to touch second, and I saw he was deep in the hole. He was just about to throw it. So I figured push the envelope and try to make it third.
It's a hustle play. It's an electric play. It's one of those things I think that gets everybody all fired up. And judging by the way you just kind of described it, you're on your own at that point, right? I mean, it's not that you're picking up Glenn Hoffman and he's waving you to third base on the ground.
No,
ball.
Not
it's
at all.
It's electric play when you're safe.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
You got to make sure you're safe.
Is it one of those that
I love it.
It's great if you're safe, and if you're not, there's a little conversation afterwards?
Oh, absolutely.
You get a pat, but, you know, for being aggressive, you know, and most of the time your skipper's going to want you to be aggressive.
Yeah,
you know, you
aggressively
see the right
smart,
situation.
Though.
That's right.
Aggressively smart.
I like that. Aggressively,
aggressively smart.
We're going to have to put that up on the screen here and keep that up all season. Aggressively smart.
Now, I notice you've been taking some ground balls. Dave Roberts has been hitting you ground balls and stuff in left field and, you know, among your other positions during the week, right?
Yeah, I've been taking ground balls at third, second, took some at short the past 2 days, taking fly balls in right, left field, a little bit in center. So I've just been making my ways around the diamond.
I like it.
Is there a place you like the most? I mean –
right now, not really.
Yeah,
I mean,
he
likes being on the big league roster,
exactly.
Jesse. I don't care where he plays.
Exactly,
I love
just
it,
to get on the field anyway.
Is there a comfort level? How about that? If I said Corey Spangenberg, you are most comfortable playing blank, you would say
probably second and third at this time. I mean, second is where I played mostly throughout my big league or throughout my minor league career. Third, I just start playing in August, but I've taken most of the reps at third.
You know, you talk about, Corey, you know, the veterans we have on this ball club now and through spring training now the first 10 days of the season, and you know, how different it is, how much you can learn from some of these veteran guys.
I mean, they're veteran guys. They've been around, and they've had so much success. So just watching them, watching how they go about their daily routine, watching them how they get ready for a game, it's
even if they didn't say a word to you, it's made a difference.
You learn so much just from watching. I think sometimes you learn more from watching than actually talking.
That's really cool. Corey Spangenberg is here. What were you thinking when you're seeing A.J. Preller making all these moves in December? I imagine you're hearing about them much the way we all did, you know, whether it's on your phone or getting a call or something like that. So you're sitting back. I don't know if you're home in Pennsylvania, you're here, whatever. What are you thinking as you're seeing all this stuff go down?
You know, my little brother would text me after every acquisition. He would be the first one to find out, and then he'd be like, oh, we got Upton, we got Kemp. And, you know, it's exciting. From last year to this year, with all the new players, I think we have 15 new players, and a lot of them are big-name guys, which we didn't have last year. And it's just exciting to be in the same clubhouse with some of the guys.
How about the bench right now? I mean, has it changed on the bench? It seems to me a lot more energy on the bench. The camaraderie between the guys.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone's excited to come to the ballpark this year. You know, everyone knows that we have an opportunity to do something special this year, so I think that helps a ton.
Really cool. All right, Corey Spangenberg is here. Before we let him go, I saw a picture on Twitter yesterday. You were taping an episode of Padres POV, and I saw you out on the stand-up paddleboard. How did that go? San Diego Bay, first time paddleboarding?
First time paddleboarding. I actually didn't fall, so.
Okay, that's a good step.
Does that mean you're going back?
I mean, it was fun. It was actually enjoyable, so I definitely think I'd do it again.
That's how we make you like a real San Diego guy, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
if we can get you out there
doing the paddleboarding. All right, so everybody's got to check out Padres POV when that comes around next time. You see Corey Spangenberg paddleboarding and not falling down, which is a very real accomplishment.
Yes,
we tried to
is.
Take Seth out there a couple of weeks ago.
No,
he was down on all fours the entire time. He didn't even want to stand up. He was afraid he was just going
to tip
right
over. We have a little
more
work to do with blooper here.
Yeah, he'll get there. Hey, man, great to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Congrats on everything, and obviously good luck with all that's ahead.
Thank you very
Keep
much.
Keep it up, buddy.
Awesome. That is Corey Spangenberg. We'll take a break, come back. We're going to talk about the minor league system for the Padres, catch up on some of the big things happening down on the farm. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, continues right after this.
You want some Padres talk? We've got that. Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studios of the Western Metal Supply Company building in Petco Park, downtown San Diego.
That's us.
You catch all that?
I did.
With Randy Jones, I'm Jesse Agler. Thanks to Corey Spangenberg for stopping by. What a good kid, man.
He is, man. He's a good, solid ball player. And like you say, you have no idea about the intangible of how much he's learned just by being around some of these veteran guys.
It was cool hearing him talk
about that. That's going to accelerate, I think, his progression in being a big league ballplayer.
I would agree with all of that.
And I know you were impressed. You were there all spring. You watched him play this spring. He did a great job.
He's a baseball player.
Yes.
I hate saying that. But you know what I mean? Everybody knows what – I hate saying it because it's one of those cliche things. But, like, people do know what you mean when you say it.
That's right.
And so that's why I'm saying it. He is a baseball player, Corey Spangenberg. I liked that, you know, he's still having fun. Like, he's enjoying this. He's appreciating it. You can really tell. And in a season last year that did not have a lot of offensive highlights, he provided a major one. You know, it was September, final month of the season, and the kid in his second big league game walks off with a home run against the Diamondbacks.
Well, they give you an anticipation of what might, you know, be the future of some of the, you know, Pottery talent.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave us a little bit of hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a good little burst, a little kick in the pants in a nice way towards the end of last season. By the way, we were discussing rubber match and you know, how far back that term goes. I didn't mean to insult you when I asked if they used that when you were playing. I really had no idea
how long
that's been said.
Taken.
But our friend Rick, RJ's Fro on Twitter, he quotes ask.com. And so, look, if it's on the internet, you know it's true. And he says, most sources date the use of the term rubber to refer as a tiebreaker as far back as 1599. That's a 16th century term. That's before baseball existed. It's on the internet.
All right.
So you have to believe it. There you go. Rick tells us that the term rubber to refer to a tiebreaker goes back to the late 16th
century. And then
baseball
just adopted it in the 1800s then.
Or whenever, one series. You know, I read something yesterday about why there are 9 innings in a baseball game. It was completely arbitrary, basically. Like, the early baseball clubs, when they were putting the rules together the first time, they had, like, 9 guys, and so they said, 9 innings. That was it. That was, like, the entire – there was no great mathematical study.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It was just, that makes sense. That works. That's why we have 9. They could have just said 12 or 7, and it would be a completely different kind of game.
Boy, it'd be crazy if it was 5.
Your games would have lasted like 22 minutes when you were pitching.
There'd have been no concession stands open.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't have worked out well for anybody. All right, so that's the way that whole thing sets up. Blooper, no go? All right, we're having technical difficulties on the guest on the phone, but that is no problem whatsoever. Trying to catch up with John Conniff, Matt Friars. He writes about the Padres minor league system, does a really nice job.
I'd like to talk to him, you know, about, you know, especially the Padres minor league, and I think the talent that we have in El Paso, the Chihuahuas.
The Chihuahuas are loaded, huh?
Yeah,
man.
I think.
The Chihuahuas. Cody Decker was on with Keith Olbermann again today.
Really?
Yeah, he was on with – they were talking about the Chihuahuas season. And, by the way, Jeff Francoeur, speaking of Cody Decker, Jeff Francoeur, you know, was in El Paso last year, and they played that tremendous prank on him.
Oh, yeah.
Cody Decker was the ringleader. Everybody's probably seen the movie. But maybe the craziest thing about all of that is that, you know, Francoeur comes up here. He's got a little bit of time with the Padres. You know, he goes on his way after the season. We kind of, you know that he's towards the back end of his career. All-time great guy. But, you know, he latches on with the Phillies this year in spring training. He makes the club. He's hit a couple of home runs here early in the season for the Phils. He's batting cleanup for Philadelphia tonight. Jeff Francoeur in the Phillies game, I believe, at Citi Field is hitting
another
cleanup.
Another reason why we love this game.
It's amazing, really, right?
You just never know. You just never know what might happen. And, you know, guys, all of a sudden they can turn a career around at some one point in time. And, and they're all good stories.
Yes, they are. So, I mean, that's a guy you wish the absolute best to.
You bet.
Jeff Francoeur, such a good dude. All right, so other news and notes from around baseball as we're talking about that in the National League West. You know the guy Ottavino for the Rockies that wears number 0 because it looks like an O, like his name? He's now their closer. He's officially their closer. Walt Weiss came out and said that after the game last night. So Colorado, and obviously they've got their pitching issues. They can hit. Not unlike the Diamondbacks. You got a couple of similar teams here.
That's a great call.
You like that?
Both teams.
And so he's going to be their closer. But kind of brings me back to tonight and the Padres and this rubber game terminology from the 16th century. You got to win series against these teams this year.
Exactly.
Last year you lose 12 out of 19 to the Diamondbacks. That can't happen this year unless you go crazy on a couple of teams like the Dodgers and the Giants, which would be fine. But if the Padres are going to be, you know, making their serious postseason push, you got to win series.
You have to win series.
Like this.
And, you know, I think especially when you get out of your own division, that I think that's really important. I mean, it's one thing to be in your own division and playing right now, Jesse, but we go out of the division, you know, over the weekend and things, and I think that's really important too. You got to make hay against certain ball clubs, and win rubber matches. Win the series. Win 2 out of 3. Win 3 out of 4. I mean, that's going to make the difference when you get to September.
Yeah, it's going to make a huge difference. So that's why this rubber match is such a big deal here tonight for the Padres and why we're talking about it so much. Follow-up, by the way, from Rick. It's not rubber like the elastic thing. That's not what it refers to. It's not that kind of rubber. Would you like some more information on the history of this?
Give me TMI.
Obviously, this is fascinating. Much too much information. Rubber was unknown in medieval England when this was coined in the 1600s, or I guess.
Yeah.
The term rubber then meant something completely different. It was used to refer to something that cleaned a surface. I don't know how that ties into all of this, but it's not even about like elastic rubber. This is terrible.
I think we better do a little more research.
Yeah, no, we're
leaving a lot of people hanging
now. That's some bad information. Good to see the Gas Lamp Ball crew here, by the way. Dark Lighter, we mentioned him earlier in the show. He obviously didn't hear that because he's complaining on Twitter that we weren't talking about him.
Oh,
he
really?
Was not listening on ESPN 1700 on his drive-in. But, yeah, they've got the point seats up here in left field, right where Justin Upton homered last night. I was up there during batting practice before the exhibition game against Mexico City. I nearly died several times because of home runs. I mean, that is a great place to take in a ball game. So we gave away some Twitter tickets yesterday. I'm sorry, some tickets on the show yesterday. And Dark Lighter and he brought his friends.
Great place for BP, huh?
Yeah.
Bring a glove.
Which they're missing right now because they were nice enough to stop by and say hi to us here in the AMR studios.
They brought
studios.
A glove.
Yeah. Did you bring a glove? Anybody bring a glove? Got the hats.
Oh, he's going to use his hat.
He's got look, they got strong hands. Okay, you can tell. They've got strong hands. Good grips. So they'll do their best with those. With those baseballs coming their way. All right, if you're looking for paradise, and who isn't, really, Randy, Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order, fresh fruit smoothies, as well as adult beverage smoothies, right here at Petco Park. Visit the new Maui Waui locations at the Park at the Park or at the Mercado behind home plate, also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Maui Waui Hawaiian smoothies now in the ballpark. Here at Petco. We'll take a break, come back, and a little bit
from start to finish. It's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Having a great time hanging out here. In the AMR studios, we had a technical difficulty with the telephone. The old Cholula hotline, the hotline was good, but we had some problems on the other side with the phone.
I thought you said we burned it.
That's good. I like that. I did not think of that. John Conniff, Matt Friars, writes a lot about the Padres on minor league system, will join us tomorrow. Blooper is going to get the kinks worked out on the telephone system.
Good job, Blooper.
And he'll join us on tomorrow's show. And you might say to yourself, it's an off day tomorrow. Well, we do the show anyway. If you're new to Padres Social Hour, we go every day, all season long, man. Home game, road game, off day. We'll be here.
Going to Disneyland.
Well, you won't be here. You're going to Disney?
I'm taking my granddaughters to Disneyland for the first time. They've never been.
How nice.
So.
How nice.
I am launching.
First trip to Disney, I imagine, is like a very big deal for a kid.
I just hope Mickey doesn't scare them to death.
How old are they?
4 and 2.
So is that kind of the sweet spot for the first trip? Or
The four-year-old's ready to do it.
She gets it.
So the two-year-old has to go.
Got it. I understand. I understand the way that works.
They're looking forward to
it. That makes a lot of sense. Hey, I want to get to one more tweet here before we sign off for the day. Brian Stoops stopped by. And Brian, he tweets at us somewhat regularly. But look at this. He's here somewhere. I don't know which guy he's that guy. Now I see him. He says, at Petco watching my first live Social Hour, consider my life forever altered. Brian?
Yeah.
I hope that's not hyperbole. I hope that your life has actually been forever altered by stopping by and saying
hi. Well, you can come back by. We can alter your life again.
There you go. Just stop on by every day. Hey, Jackie Robinson Day around baseball, Padres, and the Diamondbacks will also be wearing number 42. It's a cool day around baseball. Enjoy
it. Baseball.
I'm trying to put a neat bow on this rubber game thing and why it's called the rubber game. I've already discussed it far too much on this show. Lance on Twitter checks in saying they even do it in Australia and the UK when it comes to cricket. They use rubber when they talk about cricket. Cricket is one of those sports I've tried to understand a lot of different times.
Uncle.
And I have trouble with it.
It's
maybe the most popular sport in the world. I mean,
it might be, but when you're playing the third day of the same game, I'm done.
It goes a long time.
I can't handle it.
The matches, the wickets, a wicket is an inning, right? Anybody?
Yeah, but how about
no one knows anything.
Where's the rubber match show up?
Well, I think after a certain number of wickets, you've got rubber, and you got to match it up.
I'm done.
And then you got the batsman. That's what they call it. He's not a batter. He's a batsman. It's a more formal-sounding word.
I just know when we get done, I go to the press box. I'm looking forward to
that.
You're
going to have a hot dog?
I am.
All right. Good. That sounds like a lovely night. All right. Big thank you to Corey Spangenberg for stopping by. Also, it was really cool to hang out with Kenneth Patterson.
Kenneth was great.
Jackie Robinson scholarship winner back in his college days. I can't encourage everybody enough to check out JackieRobinson.org. Really find out more about what the foundation is doing. If you're in high school, you know somebody who is, some really great scholarship opportunities there.
Opportunities.
They're not just cutting you a check. They're really trying to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. That's some cool stuff. All right, so thanks again to those guys for stopping by. Rubber match between the Padres and the Diamondbacks. Brandon Morrow will make his second start as a member of the Padres. Great job by Randy, Blooper, Becky, all the Gaslamp guys. And we'll do it again tomorrow at 5:30. Enjoy tonight's game, everybody.